Paul was writing, says, listen, do you not know the inheritance that God has in the saints? Meaning we're his inheritance. We're God's treasure. When's the last time you read the will, Jesus's will? Listen to me. You were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, before time began. Amen.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, happy Friday. Last time on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill's study took us to Hebrews chapter 9, where we measured the inferiority of animal sacrifices and how the old covenant rituals could not change a person's heart. Today, Pastor covers the greatness of Christ's sacrifice. He was offered once to bear the sins of many. Now, Pastor, with the conclusion to Better Sanctuary.
Okay, our sins, have they been paid in full? Jesus said, it is finished, paid in full, our debt. Yes. How? By the blood of Jesus, amen? Was that real?
Yes.
Well, if those things were real, and we can have what every person on this planet wants, a clean conscience, how? There's only one way, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, who through the eternal spirit, meaning his pre-existent spirit, or maybe the power of the Holy Spirit, I prefer to believe the other, who offered all of himself, his divine self. He offered the God-man. He gave it all through the power, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. It says that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, who lived the perfect life before God without blemish, without spot. Amen. Without sin. It says that he, through his blood, it says, cleanse your conscience from dead works. The dead works here in context means to the Jewish believer, the Levitical priesthood, the law, the ceremonies, all of those things. But to us, it would mean something different. It would mean that God doesn't want a legal relationship with you. Amen? In other words, our relationship with God is not based on performance. Oh, God, look what I did. Look what I did for you today. Look how much money that I gave. Oh, Lord, look at all of my works. And he goes, did you understand? We have a grace relationship. We've been adopted now. Adopted. We're his children, loved one. Listen, here's the problem. My conscience. I don't like my conscience either. But my conscience, it tells me what I think of me. But the blood tells me what God thinks of me. Sophocles said this, there is no witness so terrible, no accuser so powerful as conscience, which dwells within us. It says in Hebrews 10:22, he says, let's draw near with a true heart, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. You know what an evil conscience is? An evil conscience is a whisperer. It's whispering to you. How many times do you go back? You could be eating lunch, eating dinner, getting up out of bed, in your prayer time, and a thought will come about something 20, 30 years ago. Am I right? And you go, oh, God, I'm sorry. I did that with you. He goes, did what? Well, you know, that's in the blood. Are you following me? I hear that all the time. I'm praying, and it's like you hear, why are you praying, Bill? You don't have access to the throne of God. Your sins aren't really forgiven. Heaven really isn't your home. You think God loves you. God doesn't love you. You're not even saved. You ever hear things like that? You think your sins are forgiven? Well, look what you did yesterday. Look at that anger that came. Whatever it might be. Listen, boy, that conscience, man, here's the deal. You have to remember this. Your conscience has no right to accuse you of what the blood of Jesus has eternally cleansed. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, listen, yes, I know I did those things, but you know what? God says, no, they're cleansed. You don't have to think about what I have cleansed. Why are you bringing them back up? You know, I buried them in the midst of the sea, it says in Micah chapter 7. Why are you going fishing again? Why are you pulling them back up? They're dirty. They're dead. Leave them alone. The blood of Jesus, man, it cleanses all sin. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, from all unrighteousness. Amen? Oh, that's the blood that does its work. Now look at this, verse 15. For this reason, meaning verse 13 and 14 we just covered, Jesus, he is the mediator, of the new covenant. How? By means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under which covenant? The first covenant, the Mosaic covenant. Why? Well, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. What does that mean? It means that Jesus' death on the cross, when he died for the sins of the world. Amen? And that reaches all the way back to Adam. And that also tells us something. It tells us that there was no final redemption under the old covenant. Verse 16, for where there is a testament, or where there is a covenant, or where there is a will, if you will, he says, where there is, there must also of a necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is in force or valid after men are dead, since it has no power or no legal power at all while the testator lives. So a will does not take effect, we all know that, when a person is alive, right? It takes effect after the person dies. Now listen, the perfect, sinless life of Christ on earth was glorious, but that could not save you. Jesus, the perfect, sinless Son of God who knew no sin, had to die on the cross for us to be saved. Amen? Now, so Jesus died, and when he died, something happened. Well, let's look at it this way. His last will and testimony now came into full force, and he signed it. How did he sign his will? With his blood. Amen. The precious blood of Jesus. Now, what does that tell us? It tells us this, that Jesus is in heaven now, right now, the ascended Lord. He's in heaven for us. He's making intercession for us right before God. And he would speak unto us and he would say this, why isn't the 21st century church claiming their inheritance? I wrote the will. Do you understand? Why aren't we spending it? I mean, it's supernatural. Let me give you part of the will. You ready for this one? Ephesians 1:3, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, who has blessed us, present tense, okay, a present reality, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are a blessed people. I don't care what the world says. I don't care how we feel. You are a blessed people. All the promises of God are yours. Amen? Now listen, I say, oh Lord, it says in Ephesians 1:18, loved one, Paul was writing, says, listen, do you not know the inheritance that God has in the saints? Meaning we're his inheritance. We're God's treasure. When's the last time you read the will? When's the last time you read Jesus' will? Listen to me. You were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, before time began. Amen? That's pretty good will. You are accepted in the beloved. In other words, God loves you just as much as he loves his own son. You're seated with Christ even right now, accepted in Christ right this very minute. Not only that, you're adopted. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the very day of redemption. That's part of the testimony. It's part of the will. It's in force right now. But yeah, but what if I blow it? Well, then you go to the Lord. It's part of the will. Are you with me? Oh, listen, you are complete in him right this very minute. You're complete in Christ, who is the head of all principality and power. Not only that, are you a co-heir with Christ? Yes. Are your sins forgiven? Yes. Loved one, oh my gosh. Listen, as he is, so are we right now in this world. Not only that, we've overcome this world. 1 John 5:4-5. Who is he who has overcome this world? But he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is a filthy, vile, sick, perverted, dark world, and you have overcome it. And listen to me, when it says you've overcome the world, it means everything in this world that could ever be thrown at you because that you're in Christ, you have overcome it. That's a great will. Now, verse 18, therefore, yeah, praise the Lord, based on what I just said, therefore, not even the first covenant, the old covenant, okay, was dedicated or ratified without blood. Blood always speaks of death. Here it's speaking of the death of animals, the blood of animals. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law. Now that occurred in Exodus chapter 24, beginning verses 1, right on down. It says, he took the blood, Moses took the blood of the calves and of the goats, water, scarlet, wool, hyssop, and he sprinkled both the book itself and all the people. The blood had to go everywhere. Isn't it horrible how sin has contaminated everything on this planet? And look what he said. This is the blood of the covenant, which God has commanded you. Then likewise, he sprinkled the blood all over the tabernacle, all over the vessels of the ministry, and also all over the people. Why did he do that? Look at verse 22. We have our answer. And according to the law, almost all things, meaning the law that God gave, all things are purified or cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is what? There's no forgiveness of sin, loved one, without the shedding of blood. Now listen, there was no way to participate in the old covenant without the blood. There's no way to be in and participate in the new covenant without the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. What does that tell us? It tells us that the only remedy for man's sin is what God commanded, and it is the blood. In the old covenant, the blood of animals, it only covered their sins. Leviticus 17:11, that God said, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar." And here he tells us why. "To make atonement for your souls." In other words, to cover your sin. "For it is the blood that makes atonement for your soul." So it only covered sins in the old covenant. In the new covenant, Paul the apostle said in Ephesians 1:7, it says, "In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Our sins are gone. You understand? They're gone forever. And then he says in verse 23 now, "Therefore it was necessary that the copies," or the earthly copies, "of the things in the heavens," watch this, "should be purified with these." Talking about there on earth, it was the blood of bull and goats, but the heavenly things with better are required much better, would be a better translation, with better or superior sacrifices than these. Why? Let me ask you a question. Why in the world would the perfect tabernacle in heaven, which is perfect, it's greater than anything on this planet, why in the world would anything in heaven need to be cleansed? You ever think about that? The reason, I believe, there could be a million reasons I don't know of. But one thing I do know, it's maybe because where did sin truly originate? Was it on earth? No, sin originated in heaven, loved one. Oh, now, Bill, you got to be wrong. No, no, read Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. You'll get the picture. You know, the five I wills of Satan, who is Lucifer, who led praise up and before the throne of God. Now listen, he sinned, didn't he? Sin originated in heaven. He was removed from heaven. We know that. So there needed to be, the blood had to be done, what was happened on earth, the same thing happened in heaven. So the perfect sanctuary, tabernacle in heaven, needed the perfect offering. The blood of Jesus had to be applied. Why? I mean, did it have to be applied for Jesus to enter? No, it had to be applied for us to enter. In other words, how do we approach God today? We do so by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Now, "For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands." In other words, the earthly tabernacle was just a shadow. "For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us." Loved one, if the Old Testament saints of God, there in the wilderness, the tabernacle, if they needed a great high priest, how much more do we need one? Amen? Look at the world that we live in now. The world that we live in is a wilderness. And oh, how we need that. Listen, but we don't trust shadows. We have the reality. We have access to God. We have an advocate in heaven representing us. Verse 25, "Not that he," meaning Jesus, "should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another," meaning the Day of Atonement. Now, he then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, never to be repeated, loved one, at the end of the ages, this age of grace, the time of the new covenant, he has appeared to what? Not cover sin like the old covenant. No, no, to put away sin. That means gone forever. Our sin has been put away forever and ever and ever and ever. It is far as the east is from the west. Why? because of Jesus. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. So it says to put away sin. How? By the sacrificing of himself. He conquered death and hell and the grave. Amen. And our sin. And as it is appointed. Oh, this verse is a scary verse. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after that, the judgment. Man, that's a universal appointment, isn't it? It's appointed unto man to die one time, and then cometh the judgment. Now listen, do all men die? Are there any exceptions? Well, what about Enoch? He walked with God, and all of a sudden he wasn't found. He went home. How about Elijah? So there are exceptions, amen? But here, of course, it's a universal appointment. Now, meaning there's no escape. Is death the cessation, or is death the end of life? No. Did Jesus taste death for us? Yeah, so it's not the end of life. Listen to me now. Death is not the end of life. Everybody who's ever lived and died is alive someplace right now. Okay? Now, but did you know that death is not the reality to the believer, that death is only a shadow? Remember what King David said in Psalm 23:4? Yea, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Death is just a shadow. Listen, for us to die, 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord immediately. No. Now listen, never forget this. It's appointed unto man once to die, then cometh the judgment. But never forget this. Did Jesus taste death for everyone? Did he defeat him who had power over death, the devil? Yes. And not only that, did Jesus, the judgment that was due us, did it fall upon him? Yes, it did. Let me give you the scripture now. Jesus said in John 5:24, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has everlasting life. Lord, you know we have. And listen carefully. And that person shall not, that's emphatic in the Greek. It would be no never, has not come into judgment. Never. You're never going to come into judgment. Now, there's the judgment seat of Christ, but that's for the rewards, amen? You're never going to be judged for your sin because Jesus has paid for your sin. It's a place of rewards. It says, and we've also passed out of death into life. Man, listen, I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. We'll never face those things. So Christ was offered once to bear or to take away the sins of the many. How many? How many? John 3:16. What does it say? For God so loved the world, not the fishes and the mountains. For God so loved the people of the world. What did he do? He gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him would not perish, have everlasting life. So Christ was offered once to bear or take away the sins of the many to those, meaning those who have placed their trust in Christ Jesus, to those who eagerly wait. Are you eagerly waiting? Eagerly wait for him. He, Jesus, will appear a second time, meaning this here is the second coming. And when he appears apart from sin. Why? Man's sin was dealt with on the cross. Amen? Not the second coming. Oh, no. Apart from sin for what? For salvation. And meaning there that we, when he appears and takes us with him, we will be free from the presence of sin forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Man, listen, you remember the three tenses of salvation? Remember that all of them are by grace? You know, we have been saved, past tense. That's justification. It's a one-time act. It's a divine fact. You've justified. And all you do is believe in Christ. And God says, okay, I declare you as if you had never sinned. Isn't that amazing? Because you're in my Son. So that's a past act. And then present tense, I'm being saved. That's sanctification. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. That's where he's taking us from glory to glory into the same image of Christ. Amen. It's a process. And then the second one is future tense. I will be saved. That's glorification. That's a one-time act. In other words, when we see him, we will be exactly like him. Amen. Now, with all of that being said, listen carefully. The lessons of the shadows. Loved one, we have the true reality. Where is our Father right now? Where is our great high priest right now? Where are our names written right now? Where is our home? Heaven. heaven, loved one. We are citizens of heaven right this very minute. Listen, and here's what we're doing. We are eagerly waiting for our great high priest. Let's set this up the right way. Here is the Leviticus 16 and 17. Here's the Day of Atonement. Here's the great high priest. He has gone in. He's made sacrifices for himself. He has made sacrifices for the people. And upon the altar, he's gone into the Holy of Holies only one time a year. No one else could ever go in. And he's now coming out. And all the people who could not go into the tabernacle, they were outside the tabernacle. Amen? Okay. And they were waiting for their great high priest, who just made sacrifices for their sins to cover them another year. They're waiting. They're eagerly waiting. Is he going to come out? I even read, I think it was Josephus said, they'd tie a rope on the leg of the high priest in case he went in there and died, they could drag him out. Do you understand? So they were all outside, and they were eagerly waiting for their great high priest to come out of the Holy of Holies. Do you understand? And say, it's done. Your sins are covered for another year. Think of that. What are we eagerly waiting for? We are waiting for our great high priest to walk out of the Holy of Holies and say, I'm coming for my bride. I'm coming to take them to heaven. That's why we are eagerly waiting for him right now. Amen? That is not a shadow. That is a true reality. Man, when he walks out of there, because he's there right now, he's making intercession. He's going to stay there. But when he leaves, we're gone. Do you understand? It may happen right this minute, right this second. Loved one, listen, there's only one shadow I want. One. And that's the only shadow you want. Let me read it to you. Psalm 91:1. He who dwells or lives or abides, who makes their home, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. The secret place. Not secret to you and me. Secret to the world that's fallen. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under. That's close, man. Under the shadow of the Almighty. The shadow of the Almighty. What does that mean? It means this, Christian. When you make the Holy of Holies, the throne of grace, when you go there by the blood of Jesus Christ, when you make that your home, you abide under the shadow of Almighty God. And under that shadow, it is, loved one, the safest place on this planet. Amen? Oh, listen, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. We are in a dark world that's getting darker. And I'm telling you now, listen to you, this old pastor, listen to me. I'm telling you, the darkness that we see right this minute is so vile and so filthy, but it's not going to be anything that is already approaching because it's going to get darker and darker. But we're not. See, we are the light of the world. Do you understand? But we have to be the light of the world. We can't be a bunch of lazy Christians now. We have to daily go to the throne of grace, know that we have that access. We have to know who we are in Christ, because the things that we're going to be facing from the people, even from our own government, even from our own city government who has turned and promoted wickedness, the debased mind that God has given. Listen, God's given up. There's no place in the Bible, no place in the new covenant that says that God prophesied we're going to have a major revival in the last days. You can't find it. He did prophesy the falling away of the church. If there has ever been a time to wake up, if there's ever been a time to be in a Bible teaching, a true Bible teaching church that elevates the exalted word of God and not man, it is right now, to where your children are being taught, your youth are being taught, and you yourselves are being taught the holy word of God, all 66 books. Loved one, aren't you glad you're saved? Listen, if you don't know Christ, you don't have to get out of your chair. We're not even going to close our eyes. Listen, if you don't know Jesus, he loves you. He wants you. He wants you now. And if you're not saved, I guarantee you, he is knocking on your heart, and he's doing it right now. He wants you. He's saying, open the door to me. I'll come in, but you have to open it. You have to open it. Come in. Save him. And he will.
Now, we hope you'll join us again on Monday as Pastor continues his study of Hebrews. We want to thank you for being with us today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.